Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the surf, cause I'm chilling enough. In the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined in all this fun and mayhem by a man who's always down for a cheap shot. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how are you tonight, big fella?
Good. Coming out punching, ready to rumble.
Now, obviously, we'll get to the brawl-shaped elephant in the room here in a second. But, Eric, I have to ask you, when's the last time you've really gone at it with someone, you know, busted out the fisticuffs, engaged in a brouhaha?
You got all the words going. I'm impressed.
It's all the fight words I know.
I think the last time I really tried to hurt somebody on purpose, like really was going to fight somebody, it was probably high school. And it was this kid on my basketball team. No, it was eighth grade. Kid on my basketball team, just needling me. Then he like jumped on my back in the locker room and I was so mad. So I swung around, I smashed him in the locker. Mm-hmm. And like, if he didn't collapse into a pile, I was ready to hurt the kid.
That was the last time. Yeah, things could have turned out so much differently.
He was significantly smaller than me too. I would have whooped him. How about you? Are you a pugilist?
No.
Are you a fighter?
No. I can't
You're
say
a lover,
I've,
aren't you?
Yeah, can't say I've ever been involved in one. Yeah, I really don't necessarily have any stories. Like the thing is I'm 6'3". Like I've always been a fairly big guy. Nobody when you're that big, nobody really like messes with you. I've never really had the need for it.
What would it take? What situation would you have to encounter for you to get into a fight?
I think it would have to be messing with someone I love. I mean, I think that would probably be about the only thing. So, like Whitney.
Defending the honor of a damsel.
Yeah, like Whitney or Man United. Those are probably the two. I kid, of course.
Your true loves.
So this week provided us with one of my favorite parts of each season, and it's when the Tigers players' wives and girlfriends create the baskets of things that are their players' favorites to be auctioned off for charity. You know, there's some stuff in there that's fairly standard. You got like your signed equipment, all your memorabilia, crap like that, jerseys, cleats. But after that, it gets kind of interesting. Did you have any of the baskets that you thought were particularly funny, or you know, something that really caught your eye? Did you go through them?
Well, I didn't catch them all on the broadcast, but I looked them up online here just a little bit ago. And Zimmerman's basket, I think, is the most interesting. He has pickled asparagus. And Worcestershire sauce. I've been working on my pronunciation. Worcestershire sauce.
That's hot. I think that's right. He appeared to have some Bloody Mary mix in there too.
Oh, is that the
I'm pretty sure. And also, the best thing in there, he has a big old bag of Better Made chips. That tells me Zimmerman, I mean, he might not be able to get guys out, not be able to keep the ball in the ballpark, but dude's got his chip game on lock.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, what players donated. Well, I suppose the ones that are married are the ones doing it. But, like, Chad Bell has a basket. I don't know. It's just kind of a mix. And some of them are pretty lavish, and I thought some of them were a little skimpy.
I was a little bit surprised at the basket Kate came up with. There wasn't really anything in there that was too awfully interesting. There, like, everything was pretty nondescript. There was a bunch of dog bones because, you know,
oh yeah,
they're so into their dog. The one that really stuck out to me was McCann has a homemade ice cream maker in his. Jessica, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. Oh, you would appreciate this. Alex had, I think, a disc golf disc in there.
Did he? Well, where? I'm looking at it right now.
It's the thing that looks like a disc golf disc, right?
Alex Presley?
Oh, Wilson. Sorry.
Oh, Alex Wilson. Where? Oh, Alex Wilson. The Moose Jaw Frisbee. Yep, I can even tell you what that is. That is a discraft jawbreaker plastic.
Now, is that better or worse than the Dragon and the Rock?
It's probably not as good as a Rock, but it's a heck of a lot better than a Dragon.
The one that I brought up on Twitter, and by I mean the Twitter or the show's account, was Alex Presley's. He's got the Keurig in there with the Dunkin' Donut K-Cups. Like, not to disparage on Keurigs and regular old coffee. Like, that's what we drink, us poor peons. But, dude, you're a Major League Baseball player. Step up your bean game. Get yourself something a little bit better than that. Come on.
Mix in some Starbucks, at least.
At least. But I don't know. I think it's cool to see the personal side of the guys. You know, and it's really interesting to see kind of their diverse personalities. Like, they aren't just, you know, baseball chucking and hitting robots. There's personality there, and I enjoy seeing that. It brings us to this week's leadoff question. What would be in your favorite things basket?
You know, things that are personal. Show off, you know, what you're interested in. Of course, I'd put some disc golf stuff in there.
Of course.
Maybe I just put it all in a disc golf bag.
There you go.
With some of my favorite discs, you know, a Thunderbird for sure.
Clearly.
Coffee. I like to drink coffee. So a nice, good dark coffee, dark roast. I like mint flavored things. So like maybe some Andes mints or something. Maybe some nice fancy beer from Founders, some Backwoods Bastard or something like that. And then, some Stroop waffles is one of my favorite treats. Are you familiar with Stroop waffles?
Not even in the slightest.
Okay. This is like a Dutch treat. It's like a Dutch confection. It's a waffle, but they're about the size of a coaster, and they're like flat and waffle, and they're like impregnated with caramel.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I got one as an airline. Like, you know how they give you stuff mid-flight? It was good. I enjoyed it.
They're kind of bendy, and they're very chewy and sweet. And then I love maps. So I just read a book called Great Maps. So I'm putting that book in there. It's a DK book. I love that kind of stuff. So that's in my basket. What's in yours? What's in your basket?
I start with a nice Nike zip-up hoodie. I spend about 90% of my life in one of my three or four Nike zip-up hoodies. Of course, a pair of Air Maxes. I spent all of my time in those.
I love the zip-up, though. I also go to the zip-up. You're not looking like some dope trying to take it off, you know?
Exactly.
And you get variable coolness with the zip.
Yeah, it looks a little classier. Like, I don't know. Yeah. You throw on your hoodie to go to class, you know, when you're 21 years old. You throw on a zip-up to go about town when you're an adult.
Yeah, we're grown and classy.
Grown men. Some good coffee, like some Madcap, some Intelligentsia, Counterculture, something like that. Frame pick of Johnny Cane, obviously. Cookies. Lots and lots of cookies.
Do you like soft or do you like the hard cookies?
Soft, absolutely. I told Whitney, I've told her this many times, but I continue to run and to stay in shape so I can eat as many cookies as I want. The truth. I have a highlight DVD of the United Treble. It was from 1999. I would throw that, not my personal copy, but a copy in there. And some Coke. Of the beverage variety. Get your mind out of the gutters. I don't drink a lot of pop, but I love pop and Coke. You know, I try and stay in shape, so I stay away from it as much as possible. But if I had the choice, I certainly would drink that.
I'd bid on your basket, Jordan. Oh, sounds
that's
good.
That's not, you're just bidding for the Johnny Cane pick. Don't lie to me.
Right. Do you see included a tie? I figured you'd be all over this. Johnny Cane participated in the Fox Sports Detroit basket.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Johnny Cane, Think Thin Protein Bars and Diagonal Stripes Tie by John Varvatos.
Oh, I thought you were going to say by John Cane, which John E. Cane. That's the grown-up version of his line.
Jonathan Cane.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4, and Eric is at Comeric Eric. Very original. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. If you do that, it really helps us to be seen by other people who might enjoy listening to a Tigers podcast. I didn't check this week, but normally I will look and see if anyone has left us a review. And if you have, I will read it out loud on the show so we can all enjoy what you've had to say. So if you do it, make it funny.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
It was another poor week of results for the Tigers this week. I feel like that's just kind of standard at this point. But it wasn't boring. It was not boring this week. So I have a short brawl recap from an extremely unreliable source. It's a Twitter account at Comeric Eric. This is what the rundown was. Fulmer hits Sanchez, not intentional. Canely throws behind Cabrera, intentional. Betances hits McCann in the head, probably intentional. Robertson hits Hicks, not intentional. Wilson hits Frazier, intentional. It was quite a day.
Did I get it right? I mean, that was kind of how I saw it. That was just the hit by pitches. The biggest question was about Betances. If you're a Yankees fan, you're saying, oh, no way he hit him on purpose. And if you're a Tigers fan, you're saying, absolutely, he hit him on purpose. To be a little bit objective, that would have been the first fastball that Betances has thrown for sure this year. I'm trying to think if it was in his career that's ever hit somebody.
Yeah, I don't remember who came up with all of these stats, and I love to cite them, but it was like 1,035 career yeah. at-bats against right-handed hitters, and he'd hit one of them. I don't know that I believe he was aiming for his head, but right. I have a very hard time believing he wasn't aiming for him.
I think it was intentional.
And there's no defense for that. Like, he very easily could have ended James McCann's career. I mean, look at what's happened with guys like with Morneau. There's other guys that
Kirby Puckett.
Sure, that's a little before my time, but I definitely believe you. The concussion thing is just so big and so damaging these days. Like, I mean, that legitimately could have been it over a scrap that, you know, it happened, you know, that one day, and obviously there was a little bit of history, but it's not something that, like, these guys genuinely hate each other. It was something that kind of got snowballed, a little bit of a mob mentality there. And he could have ended his career or worse. I don't think Betances is some terrible guy. I think he just made a really, really poor decision.
Right.
So, go ahead. Do you think this was always on the cards, especially since kind of going back to the last time we played them, or was there a specific incident that kind of ignited things?
What was the history? I'm trying to remember now. There was some incident even like a year ago where we got plunked, right?
Yeah, I think it went back to Sanchez and Fulmer. I don't know exactly.
Oh, is that right?
I don't remember the exact instance. Obviously, Twitter could.
Right.
Educate us greatly, but
No, I don't think this was something that was, you know, inevitable. I think Fulmer hitting Sanchez was completely unintentional.
Yeah, he has extremely good career numbers against Gary Sanchez. Obviously,
and it's just
good.
Yeah, and it's not in the personality of Fulmer to plunk guys on purpose. I don't believe it.
Yeah, he's way too laid back to. I think it's super. I mean, even look like when the brawl was happening, Fulmer was just kind of in the dugout in his coat, just be like, sup.
Yep. Now, the fight, the whole business started when Canely plunked
He threw behind Cabrera.
Thank you. Yes. Kingley threw behind Cabrera. See, that's when it all started.
I don't think that's when it all starts. I think that's when it's done. I think Kingley throws behind Cabrera. Everything, you know, he gets tossed. Chapman comes in. I think the situation's done. Miggy's obviously chirping at Romine. When Romine takes off the mask, steps up to Cabrera, that's when that, in my opinion, and obviously coming at from a Tigers perspective, that is actually when that's the igniter moment. That's when it became something.
But now, if Cabrera would have pushed him in the chest, right, just give him that, you know, the kind of courtesy shove or whatever, I think you would have had just a little shove, shove, shove. Cabrera maybe gets a game or two suspension. Instead, Cabrera decides, I'm going to try to deck this dude.
Yeah, and he didn't get him.
Like, and he missed.
I keep feeling like the Twitter's all like, yeah, he landed. He didn't land anything. I would have loved to have. I mean, if you're gonna go down for throwing punches, you might as well give, you know, Andrew something to chirp his brother about.
Yeah, like who's the dude who punched Pierzynski, the Cub that punched Pierzynski?
Michael Barrett.
He got his money's worth, boom, right in the face of Pierzynski.
Yeah, we never got our Odor on Joey Bats moment, which this season has been missing. Like, I'm never, you know, obviously we don't want to see anyone getting into fights, but yeah, Miggy, he did not live up to what I would have assumed somebody of Miggy's talent and maybe feistiness level would have done in that situation.
If you're gonna get a 7-day suspension, you want the satisfaction of cracking the guy.
I did enjoy, like, he got the dukes up, and it almost, like, instantly he went into, like, boxer mode where he's, like, he kind of had the
he made a decision. Going.
Yeah, he was in. And, you know, nobody ended up getting seriously hurt, so it's easier to look back on this and laugh. But it's been a really, really long season. And there's been a lot of frustration for a lot of guys. And, you know, maybe if something like this had happened during a different season, it wouldn't have escalated so quickly. But there's a lot of guys on edge. Speaking of guys on edge, Gary Sanchez, he threw a couple cheap shots when guys were on the ground, and the internet took notice. Pedro Martinez made comments about how, you know, stuff like that will stick with you. He obviously has a reputation now as a cheap shot artist. What were your thoughts on Big Gare getting in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely inappropriate. You're trying to break up a fight and put it to bed instead of trying to jump in there and get your shots in, right? And he got suspended for 4 games, I believe. To me, it should have been a few more. So people asked me what I thought about this suspension. I guess we can talk more about that later. But no, yeah, that's going to stick with Sanchez, and he looks bad for doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And I heard rumors. I don't remember who was talking about it, but apparently Aaron Judge was kind of doing the same thing and just didn't get caught, which, you know, at least he was smarter about it, I suppose. No, let's get into the suspensions right now. The big takeaway for me was nothing for Betances. That
was crazy.
That blew my mind. I had no response for that. I was
texting. I don't blame them for giving Miggy 7. Mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate. He did start it. But it was weak on the Yankee side by a lot, especially for Betances. He should have gotten some.
And I, you know, obviously he, you know, this isn't to take anything away from his credibility, but Joe Torre being the suspension guru,
it looks it a little fishy.
A little bit, yeah.
It may not influence it, but the optics on this are not good with the Yankees involved with Torre.
Yeah. So obviously Betances and Alex Wilson got his suspension. That's fine. And to be honest with Miggy, I was actually rooting for it to be a little bit longer just to give him a few more days off of his feet. Obviously, you know, people are going to the ballpark. They're going to want to see him. But as far as what's good for him, what's good for the baseball club and for the future, you know, sitting him down for
half of
September wouldn't have been the worst thing.
Right.
We had a little bit of a text discussion, but I figured we could have this on the air. Why are the Yankees just so incredibly hateable?
It's a combination of the history of big payrolls and the Steinbrenners being ugly and weaselly, and the mainstream media giving the Yankees all the attention, the Yankees Red Sox always showing up on Sunday Night Baseball. You watch Ken Burns documentary, Baseball, right? The classic documentary. What do you see? You always see the Yankees. Come on, Ken. There's other teams. And that's why the Yankees are so easy to hate, because they seem to think it's all about them.
Yeah, and that's the thing about the Yankees is over the last, 10-ish years, they haven't been overly successful. You know, there's been other teams, Giants, Red Sox, that have been way more successful. And truly, at this point, it's the Red Sox are the ones that go out and splash the unreasonable amount of cash. Yet, still, when the Yankees come to town, that's the team you want to. I mean, obviously, I have a predisposition to dislike people with a Boston accent. You know, we all do. Let's not kid ourselves. But yeah, it's the Yankees. That's who you want to beat, and apparently who we now want to beat up. Before we move on from the, you know, tie a bow on the fight altogether, there was much made of the Verlander Victor Martinez incident, which appeared to show Verlander flipping off Victor. What did you make of that? That was
I didn't catch the flip off, but I saw them having a little banter, and it looked like Nick was kind of in between, maybe doing some peacemaking. Hey, in the course of that mini game, and when the temper's running high, you have discussions even with teammates about what's going on, and these guys are familiar enough with each other where there's going to be some heat sometimes and some words and maybe a finger. I mean, have you ever given a friend of yours the finger on a heated discussion?
Not necessarily, but I mean, probably not one of my go-tos anyway. But here's the thing. Like, it allegedly stemmed from the perception of Victor speaking Spanish in friendly tones to Sanchez during the brawl. That's apparently what riled up Castellanos and Verlander. But, I mean, they've played together for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years? Yeah. There's a lot of history that one incident is not going to kill that relationship. I read somewhere that apparently they were playing cards on the plane on the way back. Like,
right.
They have
enough mileage at this point where it's not a relationship damager, I would guess.
And think about what you've done and said and, you know, implied during the heat of battles in intense moments with everyone, with people that you've had those with. Like, you know, stuff that maybe you don't quite mean comes out. And they're both veterans at this point. They can move along.
The anti-Osmus crowd was all over this. I'm not a Osmus apologist. I'm not going to do that. But that would not be a reason why I would bust Osmus for.
Yes, it's grown men having a disagreement. Let's have another grown man step in there and break. Yeah, no, that's. I feel like maybe we do come a little bit down on the Osmus apologist side, but yeah, that's ridiculous. We're running a little bit long, but let's get into this a little bit. What are some steps that need to be taken, maybe can be taken? Like, this is extremely dangerous stuff, especially when you have millions of dollars on both sides worth of players essentially scrapping like children on a playground. Does Chris have any suggestions as to what we can do here?
Yeah, that's why this came up. Chris Iatt tweeted out about trying to limit the fighting and damage, and his idea was so no one leaves the dugout, no one leaves the bullpen. The outfielders can't go on the infield, and the infielders can't go on the grass. Basically, if anybody mobs it, they're going to get suspended. You know, whatever it takes to crack down.
It's like basketball rules. You can't leave the bench.
Yeah, you can't leave the bench. Right. And I thought that was a pretty interesting idea. I mean, it sure would change fight culture a lot in baseball, how everybody runs out. But that's not a bad idea. I mean, I just think if you are ruled to have tried to hit somebody intentionally, you need a great big fat suspension. Regardless of whether you succeeded in hitting them, regardless in how hard or the game situation.
Yeah, all that is
regardless immaterial. If it was retaliation or not, you just start fining and cracking down on anybody you deem to have hit somebody intentional. And you don't say the, oh, it slipped business. Like, oh, sorry. We don't believe you. And you hammer them.
Yeah, and when it's a starter, it can't be six games. It has to be you know, something where they're missing substantial amount of games. And relievers, obviously, it's a little bit different. I agree. The problem with it is just it's so ingrained in baseball culture. You know, the retaliation. I feel like every time a fight happens, this is something that gets brought up. But you essentially need to change the thinking of an entire generation. And when you have the older generation always mentoring the younger generation, there's going to be a time that you're eventually going to have to draw a line. And I don't think baseball is ready for that. I mean, clearly not.
It's like fights in hockey, right? Like, how would you get rid of fights in hockey? Well, it's so ingrained and it's part of the culture. You could get rid of fights in hockey pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, you would just have to make the deterrent bad enough.
You just drop the hammer on guys who fight. But the culture's not willing to do that, and that's the same thing with baseball.
Yeah, and I really don't think Manfred is ready to drop the gloves, so to speak, on an issue like that.
Good one.
So let's get on to other things that happened on the field but aren't actually baseball related. It was Players Weekend this weekend. What do we think about the uniforms? They were something.
I don't mind them mixing it up, being creative. I like the special weekend. The uniforms were a little – the orange was a little too much. It was a little hunter orange. It was too bright.
Yeah.
Even the same design with the more normal orange would have done – I think would have been better.
Yeah, I agree. The hats were – when I saw the picture of the hat, I'm like, oh, that could do. They played on real humans a little loud for my taste. But you know what I really loved? I loved the socks. The socks were so many fire emojis.
I don't know. I wasn't really feeling the socks. It looks like they just slapped every color that they had on the socks and like, here it is.
Is that a problem? I thought they were
And super... there was no design. They were just like calico.
It's modern art, homie.
Oh. All right. Talk me into it. Socks are great.
the socks were great. Speaking of great, Jazz as the nickname for Hicks. I did not see that one coming. I kind of like it, though.
Can you explain it to me?
No, of course not.
Jazz?
Jazz. Like
Hicks.
Music?
Yeah, I understand that. But what does that have to do with Hicks?
Will Smith's best friend on the – that's what he picked. Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that, but why?
I don't know, but I like it. I don't know. I'm not him. I didn't go to Goochland
High School. I thought there was like some clever tie-in or something.
No, I just think it's cool. I think it's cool. Okay. Juicy J for Jacoby Jones. That's a good one. I didn't mind that.
Across baseball, was there one that you loved?
I liked Corey's brother on
Kyle Seager. That was my favorite too.
That's a really good one. I still like Nick.
Nick.
And Nighthawk, of course.
Oh yeah, the stepbrothers.
And Bootsy. I have no idea where that came from, but I don't see myself referring to Kinsler as Kinsler from here on out. Just Bootsy. The one thing that I thought was interesting was all the beat writers on Twitter referring to them by their nickname.
Like everybody went all in.
Like maybe we're taking this just a hair too far.
Like the scoreboards had it, the broadcast had it, the feed, like the if you get the app or whatever, had it. It's pretty ridiculous.
It was definitely ridiculous. That's,
I like it though. It's fun. Let them do something.
Yeah.
You know, good for you for not being the NFL.
True. Okay, so let's turn our attention to some actual baseball being played on the baseball field. We are running extremely long at this point, so we'll zoom through this. All of our favorite lefties. Or all of our favorite lefty that's currently in the rotation right now, Matt Boyd, or Matty B, as we knew him Matty this weekend, has not been doing very hashtag well. And Ausmus had some words for him. I have two quotes. This is the first one. The truth is with Matt Boyd at this point, he's going to have to learn how to pitch or there's going to be a move made with him. And the second quote is, at some point, there is an expiration date on how much rope you're given. Based on recent performances, where do you come down on the Osmus comments?
I think they're good, appropriate, accurate, and sane. What do you think?
I think that they are – I think they have to be a motivational tactic. Because the thing is who's replacing him? Like if
Farmer.
If you send him down, you know, clearly we know exactly what Buck Farmer is. I agree. I mean, Boyd has been very, very bad. I mean, what, last five-ish starts? He's been extremely hittable. That third inning, man, that's trouble. I don't see the point in publicly – like he hasn't publicly called out anyone all season long. I mean, maybe even in his entire tenure. That just hasn't been a thing. I'm hoping that it's some sort of motivational tactic, calling him out in the media. But it feels like a hollow threat because this year, the rest of the season means nothing. Next year is going to be a massive dumpster fire again. Why in the world would we not have a long leash for one of the – I mean, five or six guys that could potentially pitch at the major league level that's ready. I mean, who is the option?
Are you? What do you want Brandt to say that, though? Do you want him to say that? You want him to pussyfoot around it a little bit more and say, oh, you know, Boyd is still a young player and he's really developing and we're going to give him all the chances that we can. And, you know, he's still working on some things and he's going to put it together real soon. I mean, is that what you'd want to hear?
I mean, that's the truth. I guess I don't really care what he says as long as that's the truth. They can – I mean, yeah, obviously I like Verhagen, but I'm not advocating to see Verhagen in the rotation next year as opposed to giving Boyd more chances. Same with Buck Farmer. I think Buck Farmer has something in that arm. Obviously, I think it plays better in the bullpen than I do in the rotation. But there's nobody at AAA right now that I think, yep, get them in the rotation as opposed to giving Boyd chance after chance after chance after chance again. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We have the Burrows at AA, Fietto and Manning coming up. Clearly,
they're
those
too young.
But yeah, that's exactly right. They're not going to factor into the picture next year. There's nobody that is good enough, at least right now, to make it so that Matt Boyd isn't going to keep getting chances.
I mean, Norris comes back. Maybe Norris.
Yeah, but I think next year they both have assured places, right? I mean, Anibal will be off the books.
Yeah,
I guess unless Anibal comes back this year and Norris is still around, I don't see it being anything more than just a hollow threat because there's no serious choice you can make unless you know they're all of a sudden really thrilled about where Buck's at.
But Boyd has been on what, four games now, five games where it's been bad. How long do you do that for his own sake? Development or not, you can't just run him out there all the time to get shelled.
Yeah, and maybe moving him to the bullpen for a couple weeks, letting him try and come at it from a different way. I don't know. I think it's very interesting. Like, obviously, this was a question that Osmus was asked. Like, he didn't just offer this up. This is something he was prompted to. But the two things that he's been really fired up about recently have been this. And the ump thing with Kinsler. And he's not doing himself any favors because that's interesting priorities on a team where everything is going wrong.
He should be focused on development, learning what you have, trying to position yourself for next year, learning what you have with the particular players, and thinking to the future, right?
Yeah, we'll probably get into this more in coming weeks, but the fact that Romine continues to get at bats when you see guys like Jacoby Jones or Dixon on the bench, I just don't get it. Like, I mean, we're the biggest Romine fans in the world. I love Romine,
right?
But we know exactly what he is, and what he is a utility infielder / out. Like,
yep.
Get Dixon out there. Get Jacoby out there. I don't think Jacoby is very good, but I want to know for sure going into next year. And we have 35 games left to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I agree.
We just ranted against Osmus. That's probably the first time we've done that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's get into your power rankings.
Okay, power rankings. As we talk, do you know what significant event is happening?
Eclipse?
Right now? No, eclipse is done. Right now. While we're talking, I'm talking about nothing else than the Game of Thrones season finale is on TV right now. And I'm sacrificing this prime viewing and risking spoilers so I can talk to you, Jordan.
Wow, I'm honored.
You should feel special. You should feel special. I don't know how many people this is going to apply to, but we're going to do it anyway. So about a year ago, I started watching Game of Thrones. I haven't been following this from the beginning, but like, I binged it from the very beginning. Watched Game of Thrones. Absolutely nerding out. Completely guilty. So I have for you the top seven and bottom three Game of Thrones characters.
Oh.
Have you partaken at
all
in
this? Not a second.
Okay. All right.
So this is going to be good. Two-sided banter.
It's maybe a little bit of a monologue, but hey, it's what we got for you. Number seven is Bronn. Bronn is the kind of the right-hand man of Jaime Lannister, and he's a sellsword. So you pay him and he fights for you. Hmm. He is one of the only real lighthearted characters on the show, which makes me really appreciate Bronn. He's kind of funny, honest. He says he's in it for the money, and he more or less is.
You got a major league comparison?
He would be somebody, I don't know, who's kind of lighthearted?
Iggy.
Iggy, sure. Number six is Walder Frey. He's not my only villain really on the list because he is an awesome villain because he is old and ornery and cranky, and he's got ugly daughters, and, you know. I think that's pretty funny. He is played by an awesome actor. His name is David Bradley, and he's just brilliant. Every time Walder Frey came on screen, I was like, yeah, this is going to be good. So right. I'm going to spare you too many spoilers, but if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, you should not be listening at this point. Just all right. Number five is Olenna Tyrell. She is so fun and awesome, super witty and kind of truthful where everybody else in the show is full of crap. She's played by Diana Rigg, who in her day was a legitimate sex symbol. Like if you like the Bond girl, femme fatale kind of thing, you have Diana Rigg to thank for that.
So is that like back in when you were a kid and the floors were dirt and stuff like that?
No, this is like back in the 60s. Like she's really old now.
Oh, so like your teenage years.
Laugh it up. Laugh it up, Paul. All right. Number four. And maybe you think this is a little low, friends, but Tyrion Lannister is number four.
Way too low.
He's played too low. Are you making fun of him because he's, you know, played by Peter Dinklage, who's the really small guy? The short man?
No, I have no idea.
I know you stumbled into that. But yeah, Peter Dinklage is the really small guy, plays Tyrion Lannister. He's always interesting, and I got to tell you, I like his character more when he's being sassy than when he's being trying to be vulnerable. The vulnerable thing with Tyrion never really worked for me. So anyway, Tyrion's number four.
Is that the guy that plays Miles Finch in Elf?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The shorty. He's kind of a shorty. Comparison there would be maybe Altuve.
Oh. That feels insensitive.
That's maybe a little
insensitive. I like it.
All right. Number three is Varys. Varys is kind of the schemer, you know, the bald-headed dude. You never know what he's up to. He's got an interesting backstory, and he's more likable and less evil than Littlefinger, which I always valued. I like Varys. He's number three.
Okay.
little high, probably for most lists, but I like Varys. Number two is Sam Tarly, Samwell Tarly. He gives you kind of that real perspective on, you know, what you do. He's kind of this big fat dude. And, you know, he's kind of wussy. You know, I would be wussy. He's scared. Fascinating thing, like, he doesn't really lose weight, so he's kind of like Hugo on Lost, where you're like, he's, how is he like in the wilderness and staying so plump? But you have no problem with dragons and zombie White Walkers and stuff. Anyway, this is number two.
That's what I wonder about at night too, for sure.
That's sure. Number one, you got a guess?
No, I don't know. I don't know a single character.
Number one is Jon Snow. He's the only beacon of virtue on the whole freaking show. You can't help but root for him. And you know, you have to root for him because he's a handsome devil. I mean, he's might be better looking than Johnny Kane.
I'll have to look into him. It seems hard to believe, but I'll take your word for it.
He's a dreamboat. Okay.
Now, you don't have any dragons listed. I heard there's dragons on the show. How do they not?
There is certainly dragons. They don't really have any speaking parts, so besides like stuff like that, that's kind of what they say.
That's going to be the new intro for the show. I'm going to skip the music and just play that.
Me doing dragon impressions. The bottom three, third from the worst, is Sansa Stark. She's probably the biggest character that I hate on this show because she's just so whiny and helpless. Stuff it, Sansa.
Okay.
Number two from the worst is Shay. Spoiler alert here. She's dead. So that, you know, makes up for a little bit. But she was the hooker who shacked up with Tyrion. And I never really got her character. Like, was she supposed to be vulnerable?
Do you not understand how hookers work? Do you need me to explain?
No, I understand. I understand the mechanics. Okay. I don't need a drawing. But I don't know. I just didn't get her character at all. The worst character on Game of Thrones, and you don't have a guess, dude.
Not even the, no.
Is Dario Naris.
Oh, how he's could you hate a guy with worst. A name like that?
Dario Naris, he's the commander of the Second Sons, who Daenerys Targaryen conquered in like season two or three. But the craziest part is they changed actors of this character.
So like, it's like an Aunt Viv situation.
And like, yeah, it's totally Aunt Viv. And you're like, who is this guy? Because the old guy was completely clean shaven and had long, straight hair. And the new guy had a beard and looked completely different. And you're like, what the heck is happening? Not only that, is he's a bad character. She just left him behind in Essos to take care of these cities. He's not even helping. Like, the guy and Danny are hooking up, but it doesn't mean anything. It's stupid. It's the worst character. Why? Come on. It's bad. It's power rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
That was moving.
Such a bad character. Stop.
Okay, so I have a brief story for things that I saw on the side of the road while running. The route that I run most days, there's been a pop-up camper on the side of the road for sale last couple weeks. You know, just a for sale sign written in wood in front of it, as you would. You know, looks decent enough. So it's kind of backed in on the side of this long driveway. It's about halfway up to the house. But today I was running by, and people appeared to be purchasing it.
Oh.
So they were, and then on the way back.
You got a front row seat to some sales.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So on the way back, they were looks like they were ready to hook it up. And instead of backing the rear end of their truck up to the pop-up, they have four of them that lift the pop-up, the front, and drag it around to the rear of their truck, which is far more difficult than just moving the thing that moves. Yeah, so that's pretty much the story. They dragged it instead of just rearranging where their vehicle was. It played much funnier in my head. It made me laugh as I was running by.
That sounds really pretty funny.
Let's do some.
No, those pop-up campers, you can kind of manipulate them and move them with people. It's not so hard.
They were struggling.
Oh, well, I mean, then, yeah,
maybe
they should have.
Maybe they were weak. I don't know. I have not tried
to. They were
to,
weak people.
I have not personally tried to move a pop-up, but, you know, anyway, let's move
Whenever
on.
Whenever I walk past somebody, I'm like, there's a weak person. Judge them.
Me too. Me too. Let's move on to some Twitter questions. Jeremy Troy asked us to talk about Lucas Giolito. Small sample size, but looking good against our not very good baseball club. Discuss.
I feel like we talked about this early in the year when we actually had hope that there were these kind of unknown or rookie pitchers who dominated us. So can we add this guy to the list?
No, he's not a super, super high prospect anymore just because the prospect shine has faded a little bit. But there was a point when he was the best pitching prospect in baseball. I mean, he's really good. The stuff has always been there. It's just a matter of consistency and hitting spots from what I've read of him in the minor leagues. And he certainly did that against us. Like you say, though, the problem with judging how he looks against us is we suck. So
we are not so good right now.
At Evan Ken 95 asks us thoughts on the Little League World Series. Have you been keeping up on that?
No. I have to confess to you, I feel like the Little League World Series seems a bit exploitative.
Yes, I completely agree.
It weirds me out. Like, we're putting these kids on TV and putting all this pressure on them. They're kids yet. Why do we need this on ESPN?
Yeah, in addition to the fact that these kids should not be throwing as many breaking pitches as they are at 12 years old. It's doing nothing for them. Obviously you want to get yourself, you know, comfortable with the grip, but if they're throwing hundreds and thousands of curveballs over the course of the summer, that's not good for their arm. I mean, if they're, you know, you can throw it well from a good mechanical standpoint and not do, but I wouldn't want my kid throwing that many breaking pitches that some of these kids do at that age.
I hate to be a wet blanket, but I'm kind of anti Little League World Series.
And to be honest, things that kids do don't super interest me. Like, if I have the chance to watch that or a baseball player or baseball game played by the best baseball players in the world, I'm 100% of the time going to pick to watch the game played by adults. He also asked us about our level of concern about Victor Martinez, who's, as you know, back on the DL with an irregular heartbeat again.
Some concern. He's been on the DL once with this. His dad died young of a heart attack. You know, I didn't tweet about it cause I usually, you know, just tweet jokes and stuff, but it's serious. Like you don't want to mess with that if you're him.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's his heart. Like that's the thing,
yeah.
You know, the heart and the brain,
with your family history and stuff, you know, I think people tumbled right away to, oh, maybe this is a get out of contract free card and stuff like that. Just let that play its course out. There may be some ramifications for next year, but for now, just let him take care of himself.
Yeah, from a baseball perspective, no real concern one way or the other because he's been terrible. But from a human perspective, yeah, definitely quite a bit. Billy Robinson asks us, who would you make MLB commissioner if you could? His choice would be John Smoltz. I thought that was an interesting question.
Shaq.
The league would go in a very different direction.
I don't know.
I don't know. This is something that I probably should have thought about a little bit more. I don't know. I feel like there's plenty of broadcasters who have really good ideas. Doug Glanville is a name that comes to mind. He's a really smart guy. Seems to be fairly forward thinking.
How about Jonah Carey?
Yeah, there you go. That's a really good option. I think he's got a certain
or Nate Silver.
No. I mean, sure, why not?
Don't like nerds.
Still would be a better choice than what we currently have. Or commissioner
Grant Brisby.
I guess I associate all commissioners with Roger Goodell and how terrible he is. I probably shouldn't put that on Manfred. Last one, our buddy Jake Skronik asked us, new Taylor Swift, how bad is it really? It's not that bad, Jacob.
It's pretty bad. It's bad.
It's not that bad. The album's gonna be good.
Did you hear the clip where they put the chorus of the new T-Swizzle with Right Fred Said's I'm Too Sexy and how it matches up?
I did not.
that.
You cannot listen to the song now without listening to the chorus, and you think, I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy. It goes right with it.
Anyway, she's the Blaine Hardy of music. I will defend her.
T-Swizz.
Okay, that's about it. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric. And the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And you shake your head, yes, you should leave us a review on all of those. Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the week?
Honorable mention, best characters include Khal Drogo, Theon Greyjoy, Tormund, Giants Bane, Davos Seaworthy, Melisandre, and the Hound. The Hound. Worst honorable mention includes Grey Worm, Jorah Mormont, Loras Tyrell, and Rickon Stark. Rickon Stark.
How can you possibly keep track of this many characters named that many weird things?
So good.
Do you have notepad that you just jot notes down during the show?
No. You know the essence of all the characters. Sometimes you need a little help to remember who is this and what's their name, but no, you know. So good. Give me my dragon show.
Such a nerd. Programming note, we may or may not be recording next week. It'll kind of just depend on if anything happens. The plan was to take this week off, and then stuff happened, so here we are. But if nothing entertaining happens over the next week, maybe we'll take next week off and get back to you the following week. It has been a little bit of a stretch putting together an hour's worth of hashtag content just because of how dull the season's been. But as always, we appreciate you guys listening, bearing with us. And as always, if you have anything you'd like to hear us give hot takes about, feel free to tweet us or the show, and we'll get to it. That being said, we will catch you guys at a later date. This is where you say goodbye.
You didn't do Eat 'Em Up Tigers.
Oh, gosh darn it. Struggling. I'll edit all this.
Are we
out.
Changing? No, you got to leave it now. Words and all.
Yeah. All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week, and Eat 'Em Up Tigers, eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.